Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the dean and founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live this weekend from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We've got a great show lined up for you. We've got my friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, joining us today from the Ozarks. Hello, Ms. Rhonda. How are you? Got you unmuted now. How are you?
Oh, that makes a difference. Hi.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Well, it's so great to be here today. And I was trying to get into the console, and for whatever reason, Blog Talk thing is really slow, so I'm still just getting logged in. I'll be there in a minute, hopefully.
Oh, that's okay. I got it.
I know. I'm glad you're there. So. Well, I love technology, but there are moments when it sure does act up, doesn't it?
Sure does. At least I didn't have one of those days today. I was very happy about that.
I love that. Well, this is just a minor bump in the road. I'm not too worried about that. So it's just a really cool and amazing time here for everybody. And the thing that's been kind of coming up as a theme lately is what we'll talk about today, which is the evolution of your business and how you think about your business.
That really became a big subject for people several weeks ago when we started talking about the end of the year and last quarter and looking back at the goals that you set for yourself at the beginning of the year and whether or not you've actually reached them and whether you're on target to reach them, right?
Yep, and then there's another aspect of that or another angle to that besides the goals, and we did a great show about the last quarter, you know, getting ready into the last quarter and how are you on target with your goals and all that. So we did that piece of it, which was great to take a look at that. But there's also a piece of that I noticed both in your world and in my world where people are, you know, planning and in some ways almost afraid or uncertain to set stuff down on paper or on screen as to what they want to do because they're trying to, as if they want to make everything all mapped out for their entire life ahead of time. And it's kind of a weird thing. You can sort of do that, except that there are going to be those course corrections and diversions and interesting things. So you can have the goal and set it out, but you don't know or need to know necessarily how it's all going to happen.
Yeah, really good point. In fact, it is really hard to anticipate all the twists and turns that you're likely to experience as you grow and evolve in your business. So what you start out with as a plan may or may not be what you really end up experiencing in real life. It is rare, it can happen, that you guessed right and everything stayed exactly on course 100% of the way the next 3 to 5 years. It just doesn't happen that often.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't. And or it may happen in its essence, but it may happen very differently to what you have planned out, plotted out, and set out for your goals. And that, because it can be one contact or one something that happens to you that really changes everything and changes the course of your life. So I thought it would be really helpful to kind of talk about the different changes that we and that some people have had in their businesses, how things have evolved, and really helping to get beyond any sense of uncertainty or fear or whatever about setting out the goals or what might happen, and just being able to jump into that flow and feel really excited and knowing that you're still going in the right direction.
And, you know, I've seen many examples of this recently. So often, people don't necessarily build a plan that is based on their goals. They just build a plan, regardless of thinking about where the destination is. And once they've built this masterful plan, they start doing what they need to do to get it in place. And life happens and things happen. And before you know it, they're kind of off in this one little distraction over there and another distraction over there. And they never actually get to the place of implementing that plan. And the more they don't think about where they're going in the long term, the less likely all those distractions are to actually bring about the outcome that they really wanted. I've seen this in dozens of examples recently. And then they wonder why they're not actually getting any growth to happen. Their numbers are staying about the same, sometimes maybe even going a little bit backwards. Well, that's why it's so important to start with the goals, then lay out the plan, and then continue to take the corrective course action as you move forward. It will really get you to your goals, even if you deviate from the plan as your business grows and evolves.
So, yeah, and here's an example of how your business can evolve. And in this particular instance will be something that was a totally from out of the blue or from left field or whatever metaphor you like to use. Jason Oman, who's been on our show a couple of times. Here he is.
Great example.
Right? And I want to use something that dramatic for a reason, and I do have a couple of others that I have prepared and I been thinking about, and I'm sure you'll have some too with people. So Jason Oman, about 10, almost 11 years ago, put out his book and did some other things, got some products up, was kind of riding a wave of fame because he had been in an infomercial as a success story, and he was featured, and so he kind of rode that wave, and the book kind of helped ride along, and then all of a sudden, and I remember I was at a live event, and we got this notice that Jason Oman had a brain aneurysm and was at that time in a coma, and it was really iffy whether he would even live, and if he did, what would happen on the other side, and that kind of stuff. So he definitely had one of those. That is a complete upheaval of everything in life. And so that also meant that as he got to a place of being, first of all, healthy and out of the hospital and, working on the memory issues and so forth, then it's time to go, okay, now how is this going to affect business and what am I going to do? So that's definitely a business evolution that wasn't something that you could have possibly anticipated. It was totally out of the blue. There really was no indication of a problem and just seemed to be a healthy young man. Right. So just
and even my own story is really an example of that.
Right.
In third grade, I had set my sights on being a teacher, had then planned on going into the law so that I could become a better paid teacher as a law professor. And 3 weeks after I had gotten my invite to teach at Notre Dame, I got into this devastating car accident that literally cut any hopes of becoming a law school professor away forever.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
exactly.
Come full circle, the one thing I had done early in my career, like in third grade in my life, I really had set my goals on being a high-paid teacher. I've now come full circle and found a different way of being a high-paid teacher that is so much better than anything I could have planned in the third grade. Coaching and mentoring wasn't exactly a big business back then.
Well, you didn't even know it was an option back then.
it really wasn't an option. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have teleconferences and webinars the way we do today.
Right. Right.
So had I known that this was going to happen, and I would have known that virtual conferences were possible, that you could teach in a virtual way, I probably would have set my sights on that from the beginning. I just reacted to what life was bringing me and ended up exactly where I wanted to go anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, and that's the thing. For you don't always know what's going to happen, obviously. That's a complete left field, and you really got what you wanted, but in a very different way. Jason is now is rebuilding what he's doing with his business, and he's been doing some collaboration with our friend Dr. Michael Craig, and which is pretty exciting. So they're doing a couple of things together, so that can help to leverage Michael's memory. And they are setting up, I know they have an automated webinar set up to sell both of their stuff and to grow a list and, you know, of course, customers as well. So that's a great way for him to leverage, where now he has somebody, no matter what other partnerships he may set up, he has something that is evergreen. And once they have the basic promotional materials and things like that ready, well, then he's able to just keep moving forward with that. And start to then rebuild the business and rebuild some financial security.
Oh, that's fantastic. I didn't know that they were doing that. I'm really happy about that.
Jason, yeah, it
did
is.
That
that's very
for several
cool.
years.
Yeah, it is. And it's probably easier that it's somebody who lives in the same city, in a sense, because there are some things about helping Jason keep on track that are, I think, a little easier to do in person than they can sometimes be over distance. So I think it's really good that that type of a solid partnership is going to work really well. And so I'm very excited for him in that evolution or reinvention that he has somebody that will be so good to work with.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. And Michael Craig himself is another really good example of, you know, things that take various turns. He started off as a chiropractor. And, you know, I just think it's important to kind of visit with different kinds of examples of how you start off on one path. And sometimes you're presented with completely different ways that you could do things. And it does definitely evolve, and not in ways that you can foresee. So before I mention about a little bit about his story, his situation, I just want to mention that, sure, you'll never be able to foresee stuff, for sure, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have the goal. Because if you didn't have the goal, you wouldn't get anywhere in particular at all. You'd get somewhere, but nothing like what you wanted.
Exactly.
Right, so that's the important thing here. So with Michael, he is a trained chiropractor. He kind of created an energy work system that he saw some results with. And when he started to go out with his logical soul technique, a lot of what he's doing is in the area of you don't know what you don't know. And so in leading off with that, he was finding it kind of difficult to connect with the right people. Because it's a very, I call it a splainy thing. You've got to explain it a lot. It's a great system, but it's not an automatic thing that people will have, you know, would connect with right off the bat until they have a little bit of a sense or some experience with what it can do and what problems it can solve. So in his evolution, he has been building in ways to use the problems that people have, the issues around money and wealth and those kinds of things, for example, as a way to funnel people in who could be interested in the work that he does with his techniques. And I'm hoping at some point he could decide to have a train-the-trainer type of a situation or a licensing type of situation, and those would certainly be options for him. But he really had to get out of helper-healer mode in a way and get into entrepreneur mode, who still has those abilities and skills in order to share his message. Trippy agrees.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Do you know what their website is, their new one?
Gosh, what's their new website? I will have to double-check on that because I don't recall. I know they do have a – I think – I know that Jason's is77millionairesecrets.com, and so there should be something on there that would lead people over to the webinar.
Gotcha.
Or I would hope. I don't know for sure if they have that.
I'll go take a peek.
Yeah. So that's just an example. And in his evolution, he didn't come. So you don't have to have been like an automatic born entrepreneur who was selling baseball cards just out of the womb or something like that to be successful. but you do want to develop some of those things and develop your goals and the skills to support how things can come about in a way that makes sense, in a way that fulfills your life mission, your life purpose, and also helps you grow your business.
So how can people plan to allow their business to evolve?
I think that's a really key question, because if you could exactly plan for what surprise was going to hit you, then it wouldn't be a surprise, right?
Right.
However, you can definitely have the sense of destination of where you want to go. You let the question of how do I get from here to there. There is some planning, but there's also a sense of letting the how be up to the universe, because you don't always know exactly how. You didn't really know that what was going to help you change course was literally that automobile crash and everything else that happened, the infection and your miraculous recovery, and partially helped by the evolution of the internet and so forth to where you could be a mentor, highly paid teacher as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When I started out, I can remember a long time ago, there wasn't really, at least in my experience, there wasn't a category that fit what I wanted to do. So it was sort of a cross between some teaching and a little bit of counseling or guidance, that type of a thing. So it's basically mentoring. But in my world, there wasn't anything like that or any experience of that I could compare to. So every time I would explain what I wanted to do, usually people would kind of laugh and go, oh, yeah, well, there isn't anything really. You know, how do you expect that that's going to happen? I says, I don't know, but it is. That's what I'm doing today. It's mentoring.
Too funny.
Yeah, so just like you in third grade couldn't have maybe envisioned what you would be today, partly because the internet wasn't there and partly because mentoring was done in person, one-on-one maybe, or one on small group, but in person because we didn't have all the teleconference lines and whatever. You know, and as I was growing up, I had that strong sense of teaching and helping people open up and those kinds of things, but not that sense of, you know, that mentoring could be a career. It was like, well, sort of teaching, counseling combination, but not really either one, and higher paid than anything. I've been a teacher in college, and it's wonderful, and I loved it, but it is not exactly the most lucrative thing. So. For law school, yeah, but, you know, for other things, not always so much. So it,
exactly.
So it's like how you plan. Part of it to me is that you set out your plan, but you're open to exactly how it might come about.
It's a great way to describe it.
Yeah.
I think
so
I found their website,
that,
Rhonda.
You did. What is
it? Sixfigurecode.com, the number 6figurecode.com.
Figure code. Oh, yes.
How
okay.
to turn your That's... mind into a 24-hour ATM machine.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Michael Craig has a new book coming out real soon, Six Figure Coaching, I think is what it's called, to kind of go along with that. So, yeah, and that's definitely, you know, been an evolution for him in realizing how he might connect with people who have the problems that his system can solve and lead in with what they're looking for, which is what we teach and talk about all the time.
Exactly.
Know, people aren't tossing and turning at night because they're looking for an energy technique that will help them clear blocks. It just, that's not in the consciousness of people in a way that makes them feel like so frustrated and so much in pain and losing sleep, tossing and turning, chugging antacids, pulling their hair out.
Well, and the whole system that I teach my students to use, it's meant to help you go on this journey that allows you to experience things in a way that has you start by putting a message out there, paying attention to the feedback that you get, and the feedback comes in the way of the metrics that you're watching. Where do people go after they read the first message? How long do they stay? What is it that they buy? What is it that they don't buy? What is it that they say in their comments, both on your site and in social media? What gets the reaction and what doesn't? And in listening to the feedback that that creates, it helps you to refine the message, improve the message, and then go have more conversations to see that cause and effect happen. And as you're on that journey, as you're out trying to get your message out to bigger audiences, you end up going to some events, interacting with prospective JV partners, getting people to host you as a guest on a webinar, and each and every one of your experiences brings you to more feedback that really guides the path that you're going to go down. My entire career since I started out as an entrepreneur in 96, 97 has really been about that journey. Put a message out there, see what feedback it brings me, respond to the things that I'm hearing with whatever my next thing is going to be. And my entire business has really evolved in that way. The one thing that it's always done, though, is it's focused on me as a teacher. We started out with day trading. My very first business was going into other people's businesses, people who had day trading membership sites. I didn't have my own site. I used their audience to put my message out there and see what kind of feedback I got.
Yep.
From the first few months of doing that, the feedback I got was saying, open your own membership site, open your own membership site. So I did that in a very unique way. The price for my membership site was really expensive. It was over $500 a month. However, if you belong to one of the five membership sites that I was teaching in every day, you could get into my membership site for just $125 a month. Now, it was very much on purpose that I priced it that way. I wanted to make sure that these five rooms I had relationships with were going to promote my site on an ongoing basis and not see me as competition. They loved it. And I very quickly had all 500 members that I was willing to bring in, and I capped the membership. Well, again, put the message out there, check out the feedback you're going to get. Within a few years, by 2000, 2001, my health had declined so much that I really couldn't continue doing what I was doing. And I could tell in my members' eyes that they were getting frustrated with how sick I was and my not being there to do what I was doing for them. So I sold that business and looked at, okay, what's my next direction?
What's next?
Next thing I ended up doing was I knew that from my experience that I'd had with that membership site, I'd learned a lot about advertising and marketing on the internet. And so the next thing I decided to do was to open it what I was calling an internet ad agency. I was going to help people get more traffic, get more targeted traffic that would better convert. Again, put that message out there. Within 3 or 4 months, people started coming to me asking for a new kind of traffic called joint venture traffic. I listened, I researched, I responded. What they really wanted was a JV broker. So I said, okay, I don't know what that means, but let's see if we can figure it out.
Figure it out.
So
you certainly had some negotiations training.
Oh, my goodness, did I ever.
Being a lawyer trained, yes.
You know, I certainly knew what a joint venture was, and I certainly knew what traffic was. I just didn't know what it meant to have a combination of the two things. But it wasn't that hard to figure out. I certainly didn't do a great job when I first started doing that. But within a short time, I kind of got the hang of what that really meant and what that really looked like. Used all the feedback I had gotten for the years of doing what I had been doing and did that for other people. And that really brought me all the way to 2007, 6 or 7 years. By 2005, when I had my transformation, I started looking at things very differently. And I looked back at my business and realized that over the years of being a broker, I had really gotten away from teaching and had really gotten into more doing it for people, which really took me away from my passion. And at the same time, I felt like I'd been given this enormous gift, so I needed to find a way to repay that gift and get me back to my passion. So now again, I use the feedback that I've been getting. What is it that my clients had been asking me for? What problems did I see them struggling with? And what I saw over and over and over again was people might have a system that does one little piece of a business, but they didn't have a bigger picture kind of system that could really build the entire business strategically. So I took what I had seen in my clients' businesses and used that to create the education and training program that would allow me to get back to teaching, doing something that I loved, in a way that really responded to what the marketplace was wanting. And again, from 2007 until now, I'm back in an education field. I'm really a teacher. But I've really redone my program a couple of times, even redid the brand a couple of times, again, responding to the feedback. And that's this whole 15-year-long journey I've been on. If you would have told me back in 96 and 97 that I would eventually be the dean and founder of an online university, that I would have a high-end coaching program, I would have laughed at you and told you, you're nuts. No way would that ever happen. But, boy, you know, when you listen and respond and really focus on serving people while strategically monetizing, things happen that you don't predict that can happen in such amazing ways and really allows you to really make a bigger impact and reach your goals at the same time.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And the evolution is really fun. So there are a lot of things I wouldn't have been able to predict. But again, it's when you follow your passions, and as Robert Taltry would say, when you follow the bent of your nature, that's where the magic can really happen. So when you do that in a way where you set out some goals and you still allow for the how to come about with an open mind and an open heart, a real magic happens. I have always loved writing. I mean, my whole life, stories, telling stories, writing stories. I've written articles. I mean, in school, whenever we did have we did a newspaper when I was in 7th and 8th grade, and I was the editor of that and a writer for it and different things. So writing and storytelling has always been a big part of my life. And I enjoy teaching. I don't love doing it for people, but I love helping people get a great result, and especially somebody who wants to write. It's really fun to help that develop in a person for me. And interestingly enough, when I got my start online, I started off as a student and then very quickly a coach for somebody else's program. And I was quickly able to see where the places were that people got stuck because I had all this feedback. Again, like you were talking about feedback. I had all this feedback from people who had paid a pretty chunk of change to get this particular result, and my feeling was there were some pretty big gaps in what was being available to them. And so that's part of what helped me develop the systems that I teach. And even further along from that is that people don't realize the importance a lot of times of having some other streams of income and other sources and whatever beyond the book, because they get so focused on the thing that's just the door to everything else. So
right.
It becomes a part of my teaching to both help them realize the book is a door, not the end goal, and also to help them get a first result quickly so then they can develop that the rest of the other streams or harmonize everything or whatever and keep moving forward with their book and with their message. So it's been a really interesting evolution in responding to the feedback. I've created a couple of programs that I would have never thought I would create, but it's in response to that people really want to get something done quickly. And so that ends up being a part of what I've developed to help bring them into the fold and eventually help them realize you need more than just that first quick
thing. And Rhonda and I have known one another since back in the day when I was still a JV broker and Rhonda was working with somebody else in their coaching
right.
program. It's been an incredible journey we've been on together the last 6 or 7 years, hasn't it?
Oh, no kidding. And certainly that's been one of the coolest parts of this whole journey for me. It's been the people that I've met who are like family to me. You know, certainly
yes.
you're like family to me. I consider
me
you
too.
Family, even though we're not related
by
any
blood well.
Bond that I know of. Right, exactly. And there are other people, Chris Downs, Robert and Terry Tawtree. There are other people and some people from my programs as well that I feel very close to, and some people from your program because I've met them either through you or at an event we were both at or whatever. And so that has been such a gift for me in human currency and human amazing people that I feel so very blessed to be involved with. Don't want to be able
that's
to predict
really
that
a big,
stuff.
Yeah, that's a big part of the journey and the evolution is that piece
yes.
of it, the relationship piece of it.
Yeah.
At so many different levels. The peers that you interact with, the people who become the JV partners that you work with, the people who become your best customers and your eventual evangelists who tell everybody that they know about you, not because
mm-hmm.
they want to make money selling your stuff, but because you've made such a big impact on their lives that they can't help
right.
but talking about you at the same time they're talking about themselves.
Exactly.
Those relationships are what really make the journey so incredible, I think.
Yeah, that is definitely for sure. It really is. So that's what you want to think about as you're building and as you're creating. Realize that you are not in charge of the how, but you doesn't mean that you just have to aimlessly fly by the seat of your pants either.
Right. So what can people do to really get that feedback? Too often I see people who are saying things like, well, nobody's commenting on my site, so I'm not getting feedback. Well, you're really getting feedback. The fact that they're not commenting on your site is feedback.
Well, yeah, it is partly, and it's partly people sometimes can be reticent to comment in a place that they don't normally live and spend a lot of time.
Right.
You know, they're more like, for example, if you had Facebook comments hooked up, they might comment more. So it's not just looking at website comments, because goodness knows, I read plenty of articles that are on blogs and I don't comment. And sometimes it's because commenting is difficult because of the way they have it set up, or you have to log in or something, and sometimes it's just I just don't feel like it, and it was a good article, but it doesn't mean I always feel like I got to say something. But feedback comes in many shapes and sizes. So to me, what I notice is people will write a book or start something, they do it because in their head they feel like, well, it's my mission to blah blah blah, whatever it is, and they feel a great passion about it, which is marvelous. But they haven't connected yet with who the ideal customer is, because when you ask them who, they kind of go, a woman, you know, or
gotta
guy
love
or
that.
Whatever, you know. Yeah, don't you just love it? It all makes me just cringe when I hear that. So, and partly where that clarity comes from, yeah, some of it is research. And another piece of that is research, human research. So I always tell people to pay attention to who you feel that you're best equipped to serve. Who comes to you for to ask you questions? A lot of times it'll be the same type of person. Maybe one person's really good with teenagers and just understands them completely and gets them. And, you know, maybe working with families or teenagers or families with teenagers or whatever could be a part of what they're doing. For other people, it'll be different kinds of people that come to you, and you'll start to see that. I'm not saying that's the whole thing, but that certainly is a piece of helping you understand who you're trying to reach.
Yes. That research really is important.
It absolutely is. So in researching, you and I both notice people starting off backwards, shall we say.
Oh, yeah.
Using metaphors. Right?
Oh, yeah.
People tend to start looking, either they just do a Google search. Yeah, that just tells you what people have put out there. It doesn't tell you what anybody wants or whether they're paying money for it. Or they start doing keyword research as the first thing when it's not the first thing, is it?
No, it's not. It's the last thing.
Yeah.
Counterintuitive,
so that,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's because it's you don't know enough about your audience to just throw a search term in Google. It can give you some insights, but not necessarily all of the insight that you need. And there are all kinds of examples where using a term, you know, you may have seen a term and, gosh, that looks really interesting, but it may not be bringing the right audience. Or may bring people who look at your site and go, what? And bounce off of it really quickly, which hurts the way Google views you and doesn't bring
mm-hmm.
you people.
No, it really doesn't.
So,
at least not the right people.
Yeah, you want the right people. So it's this combination with absolutely setting out your goals. Know where you want to end up. Realize the journey will take its twists and turns. But to me, a really big piece of this is knowing who is your audience. Who are you really serving? Because if you don't know who you're serving, you cannot possibly find them and serve them.
Right. Right. Very, very true. And that's such a big deal. So often I see people who are out there trying to figure that out, and quite often they actually, they just kind of think about who they want to go after in their head and
yeah.
just pick something out of the blue. As opposed
right.
to really doing the research to figure that out. And it
mm-hmm.
makes it so much harder to actually get that feedback when you're just choosing something out of the top of your head instead of letting
yeah,
the research
exactly.
tell you who you really should be talking to.
Yeah, the brain has lots of wonderful things that it does for you, but creating, you know, a business off the top of your head is not its best function.
No, it's really not, is it?
Really, really not. Or finding out who that perfect customer is for you is really not something to be left off to the top of your head or just to thinking about it without also finding out. Because you can think all you want, and you can even imagine people coming to you and, you know, all this other stuff, but if it isn't backed up with how they're going to find you, which is where the research comes in, then you'll definitely have course corrections, and it'll be called, my business is a total utter failure.
Oh, that's too funny. Very, very true. Very,
yeah.
very true.
Yeah, harsh, maybe, but it's true, right?
Very much
and what
so.
Turns it around from being, you know, harsh and feeling a failure is that once you actually start to hone in on that combination of your goals, of course, and who is that person that you're meant to serve, where are they hanging out, and how will I find them? It just helps a lot. I think that's been a fun thing for me because I also came into this whole world as a fiction writer. And so part of what that means and why that's significant, you'll know this, of course, because as a fiction writer, you develop a character. Now, of course, in fiction, you can develop a character, you know, kind of in your head in a way, except that those there are always traits and things about a person that come up because either you knew somebody or because of certain situations or whatever. But what it helped me do is create a character study that helps also your bachelor students as well as my own clients really get in touch with what's going to be important to that person. Because there's a lot of things you may not think about, you know, from
the kinds of
magazines that could be on your coffee table to what you do in your spare time to whether you ever travel on an airplane or not, whether you're responsible to care for a relative or not, whether you have kids or not, and if you do, what ages those kids are. The difference of a 30-something mom and a 40-something mom are very different, you know, just for example. So knowing what to look for as you're researching, and in other words, you're building a whole person, a profile of an actual living, breathing person with multi-dimensions. And it's just sad that too often where people go, oh, a woman in her 40s probably, and yeah, she works somewhere, and, you know, just really vague stuff, getting very specific about knowing where
that
person hangs out, right? So
yep.
that really is a big difference.
That really is a big difference. That's really key.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you think about this whole journey we're talking about of, you know, the changes that your evolution of your business and your evolution of your goals in a way, or at least how you're getting to them, and the evolution of your understanding of your ideal customer and how your business grows, what do you think is a really significant piece that people need to start doing right now?
Well, if you haven't really thought and put down on paper what your bigger picture outcomes are, you'll really want to do that sooner rather than later. The sooner you get those outcomes outlined on paper, the easier it's going to be to really get started on the journey so that you really can figure out what to do. Not so much how to do it. I think the how-tos become clear once you know why and what.
Yep.
And it will give you a framework for really determining over and over again whether what comes your way is something you should spend your time on or shouldn't spend your time on. For example, if you really know what your goals are and they're all outlined, and you meet somebody at an event that has this big JV opportunity that may or may not be a good fit for you, you can really evaluate it differently. Most people just say, oh, yeah, money, I'm going to do it. And then later on, think about the consequences of it. Well, for me, I get to look at each opportunity and ask myself a couple of questions. Number one, does it really keep me in my passion and my purpose as a teacher? Number two, how does that opportunity help me in being an education and training company that serves its audience well? If it doesn't really help both of those things and further my ultimate goals, then it's something I don't even consider as allowing myself the distraction. If it really does keep me in purpose and my passion as a teacher and somehow furthers the education and training company serving its audience better, then by all means, it's something I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And
it really gives you
that framework to prioritize what you can spend your time on and what you won't spend your time on.
I can give an example of that. I have a friend of mine who is a JV broker and who is looking out for, you know, possible opportunities for me, which is magnificent. But I had to really help him understand, you know, that the internet marketing audience, that crowd of people who just want to make money fast online, they are not really going to hear my message of what's important to me is beyond making money. It's always going to be about your purpose, and other kinds of things are involved in sharing your message. And somebody who is just money grubbing kind of a person after only making money and that's their primary aim, my message is not one of get rich quick. And
no.
So I am
get
not
rich
going
slow,
to be,
maybe, but definitely not get rich quick.
Well, right, yeah. I know I'm you becoming wealthy, great, you know, but not necessarily quickly. I'm not about, well, how can we make, you know, $1 trillion in 2 days on Kindle or something. That just to me, that is not at all what I'm about or what my teaching is about. And so hooking me up with an opportunity like that, and I said to him one time, I think this person is too much into the, you know, just looking for the latest trick of the day for making money, you know, and not really into growing a legacy, growing a business that's going to serve people. And it just doesn't feel like that's going to be the right fit. I don't care how big of a deal that person's name is. Just knowing that their audience, if that's the kind of audience they're attracting, they're not going to be interested in the education and training type of stuff as much as they would be in, can I just use this tool and flip the switch and bring some bucks in?
Right, right.
And it's
that's
important
a really
to know
good
that.
Example.
Yeah, and it makes you feel so totally okay. You know, I don't care if you try to arrange something with, you know, a Donald Trump type person that was this big deal, if it was not going to be the right fit to where their audience wouldn't resonate with
right.
with what's going on. It's not going to
even
be the right fit.
Even if they could put 1,000 people in a webinar, and
right.
that probably could make you some money, it wouldn't be a good thing for you to do.
Right, exactly. And so once you know that, it becomes so much easier to evaluate things because you can just do a check with what are your goals, your values, what's important to you, the kind of audience you're attracting, and you can just go yes or no and just kind of tick down the list and really easily come to a decision and know that it was completely the right decision and never have a moment wondering, should I have done this or whatever,
right.
because what you do will be right.
Such a great example.
Yeah. It really is. So those are some good things to think about for our audience in recognizing that you will have an evolution no matter about if you set your goals, hopefully you will set your goals, no matter what goals you set on paper, you will still absolutely have an evolution in your business. Things will most assuredly change. And it's the question of whether they evolve in your favor or not is dependent upon whether you have those clear goals and whether you have that clear sense of what you're doing.
And, you know, the other thing, once you've got your goals down on paper, that might be a really good thing to help you with letting your business evolve naturally is something we talk about every so often, Lambert's Home of the Third Rule. Lambert's is a company that Rhonda and I use as an example of building your brand and really getting meaning behind your brand so that people really want what you've got to offer even more. And what makes Lambert's brand so successful is something that they call Norm's 13 Golden Rules. Lambert's is a restaurant that originated on Route 66 many, 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 many years ago, probably the 30s and the 40s, I think, is when it really became popular. And it's still around today because it has such loyal fans, people who tell everybody that they know about Lambert's. And the reason that that happens is because of Norm's 13 Golden Rules. From a branding perspective, Norm's 13 Golden Rules are what we call a legend platform. It's those principles that define the meaning behind your brand. Think about Google as a brand. What does it stand for? Well, one thing you really can rely on Google for is they provide amazing tools that are really easy to use that can do lots of different things. That's one thing that they're known for.
The other is that they really provide a better experience for searchers. You don't get all the crappy sites at the top. You get sites that really help you find what you need and want quickly. Again, an example of a principle behind the brand. If you look at ThroatRolls.com, ThroatRoll, R-O-L-L.com, that's Lambert's website. And on the About section, you'll see Norm's 13 Golden Rules. It's what those principles are that Lambert's will never violate. It's what they want you to experience doing business with them. If you can create a legend platform for your business, what does your company stand for? What is it that creates an expectation within your customers? What can they expect when they do business for you, with you? What is your mission, and what things will you never violate in doing business with people? If you've got that kind of a mission statement or legend platform and your goals to guide every single thing that you do, you will always end up reaching your destination regardless of the journey and what it looks like as you move forward. Don't you think, Rhonda?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. It's because it's your guiding principles. It's just a different way of saying some of the things that I've been talking about, of knowing what's important to you and what your purpose is. When you have that sense, like Norm's 13 Golden Rules, that really does help to guide you along with your goals, of course. So it's really good to know what's important to you. In my Awakened Author Challenge, I actually have a covenant of participation.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, a covenant of participation, and that is what I call it. And I use that very particular word for a reason, because it really outlines the kind of person who should be there. And so when somebody looks in, they read this covenant, and they agree to it, and they know what it means to be a part of this community, they're already having a sense. If this is a person, one part of the covenant is, I commit to my dreams. That's just one piece of it. But that kind of thing really helps you know where you are, right?
It does. And, you know, that also suggests that you should be okay with knowing that when you put your mission statement, legend platform, whatever you want to call it, out there, that it is going to alienate some people and attract others. And that is a good thing.
You should not aspire
to do business with everyone all at the same time. That is not a possible thing you can do easily, nor is it something that you should want to do. Leverage comes from doing things that really get you the biggest results with the least amount of effort. And in building a business, that means targeting a specific person and alienating others.
Yes. For example, it should be evidently clear from reading the covenant that whiners are not going to fare well. But if you're a whiny, complainy person, I don't say whiner's not welcome, I don't in those words. But really, if you read it, you get the sense that this is a positive community based upon encouragement and positive growth. And if you just want to gritch and moan and whine and complain because the sun wasn't the right color of shine today or whatever, then, you know, it's not going to be a good thing. And you get that sense of the type of person that you are, someone who is growthful and intentional and respectful. And that's a piece of that covenant.
Oh, that's just awesome. And I do the same thing in the bachelor's program with the rules that we have for my students. We have rules of professional conduct that everyone has to follow. And violators will be called on the carpet repeatedly. Sometimes not even by me, but by their peers. But more often than not, actually. What a great thing to help build the community. Everybody feels like it's a safe place because we have those rules in place. And they know that whiners and complainers are not going to be tolerated, period.
Exactly. And I have to go to my challenge for whining.
That's great, Rhonda. Oh,
I have.
I'm so happy that you've done that.
I have said to somebody, you know, it's one thing to say that you didn't think that such and so worked, but to assume, you know, that to be very mean and nasty about it and slander somebody about it is not appropriate, and you're banned from the challenge. And I have banned them.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I am
because,
so proud of you for doing that.
Oh, I don't want to work with someone. I can already tell you, there are a couple of people who have been on my gold calls where I go, at least at this moment in time, I can tell you without a strategy session, you're not my ideal customer because you're much more into whining to get something done than being positive and working and being open and being respectful in getting there. So it's just things that you know. And I've had to work with those. When I was working for somebody else, I had to work with whatever would pay him money was basically it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I went, oh, this person is not someone who should have been here. But I had to work with them because they were somebody else's client. So that's one thing I learned. I will not ever do this in my own business.
Yep. You want to choose who you're going to do business with wisely. Period.
Mm-hmm.
End of story, right?
Because it's going to be months of working with them or however long your program is and beyond. You want them to be the kind of person who will be that evangelist for you and who will work with you in a really prosperous way for all concerned. Because if you're managing a whiner, there's no way that they're meeting their goals and there's no way that you're meeting yours either.
Yep. Mm-mm-mm. Such a great, great thing to do. That's awesome, Rhonda. Well, we only have about 60 seconds left. So what else should people be thinking about to really allow their business to evolve?
Embrace evolution and plan for your dreams to be true.
I love it. Wow. Good job, Rhonda. And if they wanted to see your challenge as an example of what we've been talking about, where would they find it?
They can go to profitablestorytelling.com/challenge, and you will see the covenant of participation right there in the first day.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. And Rhonda and I will be back next week on Tuesday at noon Eastern for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great day, Rhonda.
You too.
See if I can find our music.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.